everyone, and welcome to the Awaken Together podcast. I am Jen, and today you just get to hang out with me as we delve into how you can use astrology as a tool for shadow work and deeper self-discovery. Now, if the term shadow work is very new to you on your path, what shadow work is it's digging into the sides of ourselves that maybe we really try to keep hidden. It's often the things that we can be a little bit more shameful of. It can be things that make us feel like we don't fit in or we don't belong. It can be the messy, kind of less performative sides of ourselves. And as we peer into these feelings, these thoughts, these sensations, these actions, we kind of take those things that we think we can compartmentalize and hide away and ultimately give them freedom and space to breathe so that we are not moving through our life so tightly gripping to how it should be. And instead, we're letting ourselves feel wildly and messy, and we're letting ourselves expose things that maybe were really hard to do before. Because as you've maybe learned on this journey, we don't really do great as humans trying to hide off layers of ourselves. It can create a lot of monsters and defense mechanisms because we don't want anyone to poke too deep. And in protecting ourselves with these heavy walls and not wanting to face these sides of ourselves, what we also can really do is self-isolate and not feel connected and really not be living in our most authentic truth. So shadow work is so important for just learning full radical self-acceptance, self-love, and just knowing how to validate your own experience so that when you meet others, you can also face the layers of them with integrity. We're not meeting people at these superficial layers that are inauthentic and fake. And we're also willing to see people fully because we can also notice a lot of the qualities of others within ourselves. And this just helps with communication, love, all of the things. Okay. So, astrology, I have been studying this for 6 years. I've definitely had other episodes on the podcast where we have explored astrology in different ways, but I really wanted to show that in your birth chart. So your birth chart is looking at your birthday, your birthplace, your birth time, and pulling up what I like to think of as a soul blueprint, a soul screenshot of all of the energies you came here to work with in this lifetime. I think your birth chart can show you your weak points. It can show you your strengths. It can show you the challenges you'll face within your life path, but it also shows you a way that you can usually step into higher wisdom the more you kind of understand and have higher wisdom about these things within yourself. So I actually give pretty shadowy chart readings. I think it's easy to lean into your strengths. And what I really like my clients to know when I do birth chart readings is that we can fall into these really unconscious patterns and be kind of suffering from the repetition of just the same thing coming up again and again. But a lot of times the universe will repeat cycles so that we will learn to step into an energy differently. Maybe that means relying more on ourselves. Maybe that means leaning more into others. Maybe that means letting go of a lot more and we have more tendency to attach. Maybe it's the complete opposite. And I think all of the stories of how we relate to things can exist inside of that birth chart. So I wanted this episode to be lots of information of astrology deeper, but I also wanted you to be able to pull up your chart and kind of go into a deep dive so that this can kind of catalyze you doing some deeper self-reflection work. And I love the validation of astrology. And I think that this is an excellent tool to do all of these things. So if you Google birth chart, you can pull this information up. I love Cafe Astrology. I think it's a really easy way for you to kind of pull up a list. And what you're going to look for when you pull up your birth chart is all of the different planets, you want to look at what sign they all fall in, which zodiac sign. And then you also want to see what house it lands in. Now, Cafe Astrology puts that all in Roman numerals and they're like back to back on the page. You can also go to astrocharts.com. I think that has a nice little layout of the houses and the planets. So if you want to pause this episode for a second and pull up your chart, maybe get a journal, I'm going to guide us through to some deeper ways to look at that birth chart in that shadow work type way, and you can follow along with your own chart. So to start us off, I always love to see the little birth chart when you pull it up. It can be this little circle and you can see all these lines going through it. So there is 11 main placements to look at in the chart. There's definitely more that I do in a chart reading, but looking at those basic planets and looking at your rising sign, we can start to kind of create a little web of the energies we are working with. So what I want you to do is to write down all of the different planets, write down your rising sign, and then what sign all of those falls into. And then in another column, you can put what house that lands in. Now, your rising sign is always going to land in house one. That goes for everybody because the rising sign determines how the sky is oriented. So therefore, it helps kind of shuffle all the houses into a nice little order so that you can kind of see which sign lands in which house. Now, going over elements first, the air elements in astrology are going to be Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. The earth signs are going to be Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. The water signs are going to be Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And the fire signs are going to be Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. So what you want to do here is see how many of each element you have. That really can help to draw already a blueprint of some of those energies you're dealing with. So we consider fire and air to be more yang energy or masculine energy. If you have a lot more air and fire, you typically can propel things forward in kind of a more linear way. You propel, you get excited, you move forward, you move towards your goals, and there's a lot more kind of forward momentum that is like steady. Now, if you have more water and earth, those fall into the more yin, more feminine type placements. And those often go in a little bit more cyclical patterns. You study into the undercurrents, the emotions a little more. And that usually lands a little bit more into intuitive knowing for timing versus always kind of moving at a steady pace. So if you know you have these energies, that already kind of gives you a way to create communication. If you know that you struggle with constantly moving in a more linear way, then you can also use that as communication to your loved ones, the people around you, that you are kind of going through a little cycle of deeper feeling. Maybe you need more space and time, and maybe it's not as easy to always charge forward. Now, if you have more masculine, more yang energy, this is what I have more in my chart. It has been really helpful to have communication with my loved ones that just because I move in kind of a quicker, more linear way doesn't mean that I'm expecting the people around me to mirror this energy. It's an energy that I can work with, but I don't expect people to be able to match that energy all the time. And so I think it's really beautiful to embrace that these are qualities that can be different within people, but that doesn't mean that one is wrong versus the other. It just means that if the people around you have the opposite, there might be a little bit of a different language, processing, understanding, and finding languaging that meets to that can break up some of those shame patterns of why do I always feel so much, or why do I always have to move so forward and not feel as much. And I think in between, we need the other balance anyway. We're meant to carve out kind of our weak points and look into ways we can facilitate that. So for me, being more young and masculine means that I have to actually schedule out time to feel my feelings more. I can move in such a thinking, head processing type way that I don't drop into my body. So this is why doing yoga, dancing, shake meditations, all of the things that drop me into my body have to be a part of my schedule, because very easily I can skim over those things and not do the work for myself. So I hope that makes sense in a way where we're not shaming ourselves for not having what we lack, but we also understand that we can fall into one of those energies more. Now, the other really fun thing I like to look at, there are three types of modalities in astrology: cardinal, fixed, and mutable. Now, these are the different signs, kind of qualities behind them. The cardinal signs are always going to fall at the beginning of a new season. Cardinal energy helps us launch into the new. It helps us propel forward. It gives that initial spark, that initial flame. Fixed energy is always going to stabilize a season. So fixed energy likes to stay more consistent. It's way slower to change, but it helps to really lean into full embodiment. And then mutable signs are our shapeshifters. They shape us from one season into the next. So anytime I'm doing a chart reading, I like to look at how many of each of these my client has, so I can see what energy they kind of lean into because of the different signs they have their planets in their birth chart. So starting with cardinal, the cardinal signs are going to be Aries, Libra, Cancer, and Capricorn. So you can put cardinal by those if you have a planet placement. And then looking at the next, the fixed signs are going to be Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, and Aquarius. And then our mutable signs are Gemini, Sagittarius, Virgo, and Pisces. So as you look at these qualities within your birth chart, if there's kind of an even balance in those in your chart, then you don't necessarily have to look into that in a very deep way. Now, if you notice you have a lot more of one and the other, I like to talk to my clients about this. Now, if you notice you have a lot of cardinal, you might get so excited about new projects. You launch into things, but your follow through can really lack. And instead of feeling shame around that and, you know, kind of building a story that I can never make anything happen for myself, I have so much trouble like actually fulfilling the stuff that initially gets me excited, or I wish that I could hold passion for longer periods of time towards the same thing. You can realize that this is just a quality that your soul was given to work with, and then find people that can help carry that out for you. You can even use that as a form of communication to say, I really, really love getting things going. I have a gift for it. I really need the accountability, or I would need the added team effort to sustain it, because that's just not as easily my strength. And so I would need a little bit more support. So it's communicating an emotional need versus necessarily taking the stress of all of that and then continuously kind of bombarding your life or erasing what you've done. You can also build on the things that really matter, knowing that you just have to keep finding that initial spark to move forward. Now, if you have a lot of fixed energy in your chart, fixed energy takes a long time to change. Fixed energy is so steady for the people around you. It can help them kind of hold time because you kind of have this strong sort of trunk that people can lean on because of your consistent way of processing and doing things. Now, the trouble with fixed energy and the thing that can be easier to build shame around is it can be tough to listen to the opinions of other people. It can be tough to kind of process information quickly. So using your words and communication to say, I hear what you are saying. I hear what you're asking of me. I hear what you're trying to communicate, but I need longer time to process this information, and coming up with systems for your loved ones, the people around you, to give you that extra time needed to feel, to process, but also making sure that you don't just shut people out because you feel like it's such a challenge to change and integrate that information. You can let other people's opinions come in, and instead of just being overwhelmed by it and shutting it out and feeling like your stuff isn't heard, I think fixed can get really trapped in their way of thinking. And it's important to allow expansion and growth to happen. It's just gonna probably move at a different pace for you. And you just wanna make sure that no one feels shut out by that rigidity. That also is a huge strength for you. Now, if you have a lot of mutability in your chart, you are my people. To me, mutability is interpreting information on a lot of different planes of reality. When I am interacting with something, I am viewing it through so many different perspectives, so many lenses, and I'm kind of reading a bunch of different realities almost at once is truly what it feels like to have lots of mutability. It feels like there is endless possibility to what could be happening. So there can be really poor self-boundaries with mutability. You can get so excited about everything. You can see the vision of what every single person, every single item, every single element in nature is all trying to tell you. And even though that can be this incredible, intuitive, psychic sort of superpower, it also can mean that you can get lost in other things and really lose where you start and other things begin. So boundaries, I think, for the mutability people are so important so that you protect yourself. I have to be really careful about what I even give a little bit of my time to, because I will portal into the world of whatever that is. And I just want to make sure those are things that are also going to be filling my tank in some way as well. So with this information, we've now covered the elements and the modalities that are within the signs of our chart. Hopefully that helps you kind of already start to unpack the depth that can be found within the birth chart. And it can also provide some languaging, because I really think the biggest element of shadow work is knowing how to kind of advertise for the things that maybe we feel more nervous about or a little less in control of. I know for me, my birth chart is so full of weak points. And now, instead of just like not communicating those things and then finding that they continuously come up in the ways that I have relationship conflict, or that I fall into impulsive patterns, or I fall into escapism patterns, I can ask for help or communicate my perspective better so that the people around me are not getting hurt by my behaviors, and I can communicate through what could be maybe misperceived if I didn't have that level of self-awareness. That I think that can help with. Now, a few other things I wanted to share in this episode that can be a little more higher level for studying your birth chart. I am going to do a little brief overview, and I think I've done this in another episode of astrology, but all of the different houses, I'm going to give just a general blueprint. And I want you to see if you have some houses that have way more planets than other houses. So if you have a lot of planets that fall into house 1 to 6, those planets are going to fall below the horizon line. If you have more planets in house 7 to 12, those are going to be above the horizon line. People that have more below the horizon line typically seek more privacy. You usually kind of lean more into emotional securities. And the people that have more above the horizon line typically engage in society a lot more. You can have a lot more social energy. You also can feel pressured to kind of do things for society more versus there being a little bit more intimacy and family oriented kind of rooting that can come with having more at the bottom of your chart. So you can add up like what, how many you have in each house. And I'm going to give a general overview of all of the houses. So house one is the house of self. Here is where we really get a lot of how we're perceived, how we initially respond to things. It can show a lot of how we view ourselves, how we present ourselves to the world. House two is the house of our personal possessions. It's the way we value ourselves. It has a lot to do with the things that we actually create for ourselves. So this is one of the money houses. This is our own kind of personal security, and that can be both emotionally and tangibly. The third house is the house of communication. It is the house where we really can see our early learning experience and how our immediate environment plays into what we know and how we speak and communicate. The fourth house is the house of family. It's the house of home. It's where we really want to be secure, where we typically can see a lot of the patterns that happen within our family. The fifth house is the house of play, pleasure, inner child healing. It's the house of romance. So there is a lot of fun, exciting energy that can be found in that fifth house and what we do with our creativity. The sixth house is the house of health, mind, body, routine. It shows a lot of our work ethic and how we kind of meet the day-to-day and how that kind of funnels into how we take care of our physical and mental health. The seventh house is the house of marriage and close and intimate relationships. It can show a lot of information about our business partnerships, as well as our really close, intimate partnerships. The eighth house is the house of intimacy, merging. It's the house of other people and how we kind of merge and blend with that. It can show a lot about our sex life. It can show a lot about how we're going to transform and mutate through stuff in this lifetime. It is also known as the house of death because it is a shadowy house that can show a lot of how we change, and also where we can struggle actually meeting those things such as intimacy. The ninth house is the house of higher wisdom, higher education. It is also the house of adventure and travel. It shows how we learn from other cultures, other experiences, learn by doing, and how we integrate all of that into a higher self-understanding. The 10th house is the house of career. It's the house of reputation, social reputation, how we want to be seen. It has a lot to do with what we put out into the world and what we end up leaving a legacy with. The 11th house is the house of groups. It's the house of friendship. It's the house of our hopes, our dreams. This has a very like higher ideal kind of energy to it. How we connect with the society systems, how we plug into groups of people, and how we all kind of grow and expand the future together within that house. The 12th house is the house of dreams. It is the house of our subconscious. This is also another darker house because usually the energy in the 12th house is really hard to get a grip on. It's hidden away from us, so it can be harder to access without outside feedback or just really plugging into deep spirituality and tuning into other realms to kind of get a deeper understanding of that energy. So looking at all of these placements, you're going to have some houses that don't have any planets at all. That does not mean that that energy is a problem for you or that there's not a story there. Just that when we have planets in certain houses, that is usually a more amplified energy. And every single planet has a different meaning in how it can manifest energetically for you. There's also looking at the relationship between all of the planets and how they relate. So if just the simple searching of, suppose you have Jupiter in the first house, instead of just searching Jupiter in the first house, we also as astrologers would look at what planets are aspecting Jupiter. So is there other planets in the same house as that planet? Is there planets across from that planet? And there's different angles and different understanding. This is all higher stuff that you can find within a deeper dive of your birth chart. But when you are just doing kind of an initial kind of shadow work type of view on your chart, I think some of the weaker points that we can have trouble facing, the areas of life where we can have the most challenge, we want to look to the planet Saturn and we want to look to the planet Pluto. Both of those planets have a lot, and yes, I'm going to keep calling Pluto a planet. trust me, it's so on brand that it got demoted. You know what I mean? So looking at both Saturn and Pluto, look at what house those two land in. Maybe re-listen to all the definitions of that house. And knowing that Saturn, even though we eventually will go through our Saturn return, which happens around like 28 to 31, and then it'll happen again at 58 to like 61, and then maybe 88 to 91, the Saturn is really kind of this old wise teacher planet. It teaches us how to move through a weak spot with hard work, consistent effort, and a lot of challenges. It helps to teach us that challenges don't always have to be perceived as bad. They help us have to work through an energy that maybe doesn't come naturally to us. So I don't even think Saturn should be viewed in such a harsh way, but because we all feel so much more comfortable when life is really beautiful, everyone likes us, we're being perceived really well, we have all the resources we need. That's just not always the case of life. So looking to Saturn will show us what area of life we've had to really face some tougher challenges. And you can kind of get an understanding of the area of life where you're also meant to immensely grow. I can give my own just higher wisdom from my own birth chart. I am a Saturn Aquarius, and that is in the sixth house for me. And so that is the house of mind and body healing, daily routine, our work ethic. And for me, I dealt with so many physical body problems as I was growing up. I was really overweight. I got bullied and kind of made fun of for my weight. I think I was really seen as less than a lot of the time. I had a lot of shame patterns around my body. I used to weigh myself so many times a day, and I just really was disgusted with how I looked. I had no self-respect. And so that manifested in really poor habits. It manifested in me really blocking a lot of people out in deeper ways because I just didn't trust that they could possibly like me because I just didn't have any self-love myself. And I also went through a lot of physical health problems. I have hypermobility. I had a lot of joint problems and pain growing up. I feel like it was really tough to trust my body's like physical abilities. And I also went through the patterns as I got older and I kind of worked through a lot of self-love and healing for my body. I also dealt with the other shadow of this house, and that was burning my myself out by working so hard and going so hard that I literally destroyed my mental health, got really burned out. And so a lot of the lessons even within that was I felt a lot more worthy when I was working really hard and when I would get recognized for my work, but at the cost of my mind and body being balanced and doing it in, you know, safe boundaries. So for me, my Saturn return and being now on the other side of it, I have this really beautiful way of meeting routine. I make sure that it's expansive enough for my neurodivergent mind. I've learned a lot about my mental health and the boundaries within that. I've also learned how to always show up for my body and care for my body, pay attention to what I'm putting into my body. I care about my mind and body more than anything else. I will put it above everything because I know when I don't care about it, the ripple effects are so loud because this is an energy that I came to really sit with in this lifetime and pay attention to. Now, looking to the planet Pluto. Pluto lumps us into generations. So millennials, most will have Pluto in Scorpio. Most Gen Z is going to have Pluto in Sagittarius. And it's really interesting because I think that we go through shadow work as a generation too. So Pluto Scorpio's shadow work has really been to dig into the truths. A lot of us have exposed our family, brought up secrets that maybe no one had brought up in generations. And we are doing the mental health decluttering to actually expose the truth. So there is so much more mental awareness of patterns. We are the first group to go so hard in therapy, which is so Scorpio, right? Dig into the darkness of all things, question everything. And then Pluto Sagittarius as a generation is really here to own just that honest, truth, fiery type of spirit. Sagittarius cares about the planet at large, being honest and meeting things with integrity, protecting what belongs to us in a bigger, more societal, collective sort of way. And I love that the Pluto Sagittarius generation is really kind of saying screw it to the standards of like, I have to work and over martyr myself. There's a lot more authenticity and freedom that is valued by this generation. And looking to where that Pluto energy manifests in your chart, Pluto teaches us not only how collectively we meet society, but Pluto also can show where we transform immensely in this lifetime. It's a very shadowy placement. It's often full of a lot of stories about losing power, losing control, getting maybe overly confident in power and overly controlling. And there's usually a story behind the ebb and flow of both of those patterns wherever we find Pluto. So once again, seeing what house that lands in and maybe just doing some journaling and reflection on the power and control issues of that area of life you faced. So for me, I can give another tangible example. Pluto lands in my third house. That is the house of communication, your immediate environment and what it teaches you. And I really went through so much like religion trauma and learning disability stuff. I'm dyslexic and neurodivergent. And I had a lot of things kind of thrown at me at a young age that affected the way I wanted to use my voice. I feel like I would either over control conversations because I didn't want anyone to see anything about myself, or I really didn't give very much at all and significantly held back. And then a lot of people would take advantage of that energy too, because I wasn't holding strong in any boundaries or personal power around my voice. And I learned that as I changed my immediate environment, I wasn't, you know, really dealing with a lot of the mindsets that were given to me by my family, and I started actually zooming out and changing that, I was also able to grow my mindset, my thinking, how I actually expressed and used my voice. And I've been able to find a much better kind of power and control balance and go through a lot of transformation about the importance of me using my voice and how powerful it can be and how my way of thinking is super deep and powerful and that it's so important to get out. It's not always easy. I would still say that's very vulnerable for me, no matter how much practice I get. But that is a way I've kind of really been able to face those stories of my past and go, you know, I was really doing exactly as I was supposed to. Those old stories aren't something to hold a lot of shame around. I can release the emotions of past versions of me and trust that I needed those lessons so that I could learn how to adapt and grow and shapeshift into a different version of me that can be more accepting of that vulnerability, of that placement. So I hope this was a fun episode. I hope maybe you got a few nuggets from your birth chart, and hopefully overall you got to see that astrology has all this fun depth to it. I think it can be really fun if you want to journal further on these topics. You can just do a little Google dive, start diving into some of the energies, and then sit with some of the stories of your own life. I think the birth chart in retrospect is so fun to look at. I, as an astrologer, can help guide you through your entire chart, but only you are going to hold the stories behind all of those placements and know just really what your feeling and thinking journey has been around what I am sharing. Now, if you want a birth chart reading, you can go to my website. It's sensefulwellness.com, and you can schedule a chart reading with me. I love to be able to share this as a tool. And a few other resources. I love the app, The Pattern. I think The Pattern is a beautiful way to start reading into your birth chart in a less technical way, which can start getting you thinking and reflecting on some of these things so that you can dive deeper into that self-acceptance. I also think just listening to any astrology podcast, any astrology audiobook. I love just hearing the perspectives of astrologers because I think you can expand your learning. And remembering that there is no set language here of astrology. I think your lived experience teaches more about the chart than anything. And it's just really fun to see now how big astrology has gotten now that we have technology and we can really dive into bigger patterns, what people who have passed away's life story contained, what their birth chart said, and we can pattern recognize a lot bigger with all of the technology that can run data reports and see all of this. So I've loved to watch this language become such a louder, more accepted tool. And yeah, a few final announcements before I close out this episode. So if you are listening to this in real time, I wanted to give a couple final announcements. Kat and I are going to be hosting our next Awaken Together Witchy Retreat in Salem. It's going to be so magical. We already have a really exciting schedule. If you want to take one of our final slots, we have two left, and you can go to Kat's Instagram. She has it linked. It's Catalyst Living or Kat Erickson. Or you can go to my personal Instagram page, sensefulwellness, and check out my link in bio. We have a direct link there to where you can lock in one of our final slots. And the other thing I wanted to share is we have been doing this podcast ad-free, but we wanted to share, we created these little tote bags with our Awaken Together logo. By buying those totes, you help support us just getting some revenue from all of this. this knowledge and time and love we pour into this podcast. We have the totes linked and up on our link in bio. If you want to grab a tote, you can. They are $15. We can ship them anywhere. So please reach out if you want to message us at any point. You can check out our Instagram, Awaken Together Podcast. And we appreciate all the ratings on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast as we continue to grow. Thank you all for being here for another episode, and we will see you next time.